When you hear the phrase holistic nursing, it might conjure for you images of crystals and herbs. And while it can include that, I'm joined today by Rose Hosser to learn about the many benefits of a mind, body, and spirit approach to nursing for our patients and for ourselves. Hi, and welcome to Nurse Essentials, a Cleveland Clinic podcast where we discuss all things nursing, from patient care to advancing your career to navigating tough on-the-job issues. We're so glad you're here. I'm your host, Carol Pahatsky, Associate Chief Nursing Officer of Surgical Services Nursing. Welcome back, everyone. So if you've been listening since the beginning, you may remember my journey to nursing came by way of music therapy. I was scared of hospitals and nursing and all that that entailed. And then suddenly I found myself as a music therapist on a burn unit. And one of the worlds that opened up to me as I went through my music therapy schooling, as well as in a career, was really that there's so many amazing modalities that we can use to really help patients, help ourselves. And so within my educational experiences, and even with some of the folks I worked with when I was at the hospital as a music therapist, were things like Reiki and healing touch and all sorts of modalities I had no exposure to. So it really opened my eyes to those things. And then as I became a nurse, then really seeing that that can be part of a nursing practice. And so with all that as an introduction, it's my pleasure to welcome Rose Hosler to the show today. Rose is the Healing Services Coordinator for Hillcrest Hospital. Welcome, Rose.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So you have a story to tell in terms of holistic nursing and your journey to all these wonderful modalities. So can you start us off by giving us a little bit about how you found yourself into this specialty?
Yes. So way back when, I started my career at the Veterans Hospital.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Here in Cleveland at Wade Park. And I think most of my life, and I can say probably by the age of 12, I knew I was going to become a nurse.
Oh, great.
And
All right.
That was shaped, of, I think, sometimes as we know, you know, from an experience. I had a best friend, and her sister was in a devastating car accident that left her as a quadriplegic.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And so I learned from the get-go what it meant to really take care of someone.
Wow,
to listen to them, because she was not able to do things for herself, so she used her voice. So I think from that, that's really
a very formative experience.
Mm-hmm. And stayed with me for many, many years. I went on to be her personal assistant when she went on to college. And so it was really just a great, great learning. Heartfelt experience, knowledge that I learned through the years, even before I started nursing school. So when I went to the Veterans Hospital, and I was like, gosh, I worked med-surg, I worked their cardiac surgical intensive care, and I was like, there's more to this. There is more to healing than what I'm seeing. So I had always, I feel like, practiced. I was a runner and always into kind of health and fitness. You know,
okay.
So I got that, got that part of it, you know. But I just felt like there was more. And so as I worked at the VA, I just started exploring more things, getting connected to people that were practicing more spirituality, that were into herbs, vitamins, just all different things, just trying to expose myself to that. I came here to the clinic in 97 and worked the emergency room, and I always was listening to someone's story. So I know it brings you here physically, but what's going on emotionally and spiritually?
Sure.
And so I just started taking classes and things that interested me that were a little bit more expansive than just the physical component of what's going on during a disease process.
Sure.
And I learned Reiki, and I loved it, and I started incorporating it at the bedside when I worked PACU at Hillcrest and at the Beechwood Surgery Center worked. And I learned aromatherapy. I was like, I want to take the clinical course in aromatherapy because I really want to understand the chemistry of it, like what's going on.
Oh, sure.
And so every time I took a class or a training, it would just led me to other people that were practicing like this, and it just opened my eyes.
Okay.
So I was practicing this and doing this while I was working as a clinical nurse. And there was a team here at Main Campus, Healing Services, through the spiritual care department that reported up through Office of Patient Experience. And they had a position open. And I had kind of been working with them through doing Code Lavenders and stuff when I was at Hillcrest and connected with them. So I came down here to Main Campus in 2013, and I never thought I would work at Main Campus.
But here you are.
But here I am. So I started working as a healing services coordinator with the Department of Spiritual Care. And so it was a great opportunity to learn from chaplains and just really expand the work. And so I got certified as a holistic nurse. All these years of clinical training and things, I'd always incorporated something holistic, something that expanded my knowledge on really what does it mean to look at someone from a mind-body-spirit perspective. We say that. And, you know, it's kind of the talk, oh, mind-body, spirit, and well-being and stuff. And I have the opportunity when I meet with patients or family or the caregivers that something maybe they'll be like, oh my gosh, Rose, I'm just, I've got this major headache. I've got so much pain. Can you do something? I'm like, sure, we'll work on that. And what else is going on? What else
What's
is going on?
Yeah.
What's the root cause? What else is going on? What's going on emotionally? What's going on spiritually for you? What's going on psychologically? And so practicing from that foundation, it's just amazing.
It's who
because
you are.
It's who I am, and it's really opened my eyes, and I've learned a lot. That's kind of been my journey here at the clinic. So I stayed at Main Campus for 3 years and then transferred back to Hillcrest doing the same work. So at Hillcrest, I kind of bebop around the hospital. I get referrals from anyone. So physicians, nurses, social workers, patients, they can refer, so they would actually put the referral in Epic for healing services, and you get me.
And audience, I want you to know that this is a reschedule from when we were supposed to first record because Rose was providing those wonderful services to a patient family. So she absolutely is still boots on the ground helping out so many in our hospitals.
And I love it.
Excellent. So you've given us a wonderful overview. Maybe if you can help us dial a little bit more. So you mentioned that you're a holistic nurse and you're a certified holistic nurse. Can you give us sort of the definition of what that means and what the process of getting certified was like?
So back in nursing school, I had no idea that there was holistic nursing or, you know, things of this nature. So yes, holistic nursing, it's a board certification. So it's recognized. It's a magnet recognition for certification. And by ANCC, it's recognized. So holistic nursing is just what we have said, looking at someone from mind, body, spirit perspective.
And truly doing that.
And truly doing that and making it part of your practice. So yes, I'm a clinical nurse, but as I'm certified in holistic nursing, that focus for me is I'm going to dig deeper with someone. And whether I'm working at the bedside, if I was working PACU, if I was working the ER, it is part of your practice. It's a part of way of being. So it doesn't mean that holistic nurse that, oh, I have a modality. Those are great. Those are added tools that I can use. Sometimes that's kind of the way in, is using a tool or a technique.
So healing touch, Reiki, et cetera, those are tools.
Yes, those are tools, but not requirements to get certified as a holistic nurse. So the requirement is that you're practicing from a holistic perspective, you understand holistic nursing theory, and you are putting that into practice in the work where you are. So what's nice is, let's say I went back to the emergency room. I used to be trauma nurse certified when I worked ER, and I did SANE nursing as well. So if I went back to the emergency room, this certification would go with me. So this holistic nursing certification would stay with you. So I feel like it's kind of a nice foundation because you can apply this holistic nursing to any field of nursing.
And we probably all should.
That's my feeling.
Well, and I never knew that. I'm thinking back to, we had an episode a little while ago about certification and you know, the process of getting certified with other specialties. But our guest actually talked about how she had to let her certification lapse because she was no longer practicing that very specific specialty that she'd gotten certified. But I've learned from you that this should be practiced everywhere, so that wouldn't necessarily be a limiting factor that you should be, if you're a certified holistic nurse, you can be that in any type of nursing.
In any type of nursing, that's right. And I was just speaking to another nurse that works oncology, and she was like, Rose, I really want to become a holistic nurse. How do I do that? So we had conversation about that. I mean, yes, there's an application, there's an exam, and you have to have so many continuing education units that pertain to holism. So you can't like take your ACLS and put it towards your CEs, yes. You know. But there's a lot of opportunity and things that I've taken courses I've taken in trauma and the mind-body-spirit component, the grief component, that there's many things that can pertain to that. So you have to have so many CEs. Mm-hmm. And the certification is good for 5 years. So you do have to renew it, mm-hmm. and you have to keep current with things that are going on and that you are practicing from that. And part of that certification is, what do you do for your self-care?
No.
You actually have to write an essay.
Really?
Yes, it's part of the application process of how do you incorporate holism for yourself?
Wow.
What does that mean for you? So you get to examine yourself first.
That's fascinating.
When you're applying for that.
Yeah, I didn't have to write an essay. It's for the certifications I have. So, so you mentioned that you get referrals.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit more about how do you sort of get out there that you can be referred to, and what are some of the things that a physician or a nurse are saying, I need to refer to healing services, I need Rose's help.
So I will get referrals for, one of the big ones is emotional support, someone that's been newly diagnosed, someone that has high anxiety, they're just a wreck, pain.
Yeah.
And so those are probably the most common end-of-life things as well. So really, anyone can refer to me. And because I am not in one unit, that's the beauty of being a holistic nurse in this position that Cleveland Clinic has. And I will say the clinic has been quite progressive in that when I go to conference and stuff like that, they're like, oh.
Hey, you do this full-time?
You do this full-time and inpatient. So I'm out. And I'm in different units all over. I could be in the pediatric floor in the morning and then go over to antepartum, go over down to the ER, go to ICU, CCU. So staff is pretty well aware of me. So that's kind of how it really is, kind of word of mouth and learning about me. But I do partner a lot with spiritual care. So we're, you know, with the chaplains and things like that. At Hillcrest, they're aware they can put in healing service referral. And if they're not sure, sometimes people just know me and they just page me. Like, I don't know what's going on, but you need to come up.
I need your help.
I need your help. And we do a lot of staff care. I partner a lot with our director of spiritual care, Rabbi Susan Stone. And so we bring, do Code Lavenders. We bring the tea card around. And just yesterday, I had one of our unit coordinators call me and she's like, Rose, the unit's been a little stressful. Can you come over to West Center? We just really need, I think the nurses just need to take a pause and take a breath.
Oh, how wonderful.
And
she reached out.
She reached out. Yeah. And so here is someone that's kind of, you know, recognizing that their coworkers need some added support. And so I was able to go get the tea cart, go over to West Center and spend some time with the staff and encouraging them just to kind of reset.
Yeah.
And caregivers know when I'm out on the units, they can reach out if they need help.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So I'm there for them too.
What a gift. For our friends who are listening who are not from Cleveland Clinic, can you explain a little bit more about Code Lavender?
Sure. So Code Lavender has been around the clinic for a long time. Originally for the clinic, when we brought it here, it was, we thought, oh, we're going to do Code Lavender because, you know, when patients get a bad diagnosis or, you know, we have long hospital stays or a lot of complicated issues. But what turned out to be 99% of the calls were for the caregivers. The staff were like, we need a Code Lavender.
Yeah, I honestly didn't know it was ever patient-focused because in my mind, it's always been caregivers.
It's always, and it started out being that that's what we thought it was going to be. But in essence, it really turned out to be for caregivers. So Code Lavender here at the clinic has been around since about 2009.
Wow.
2010. Yeah. And it's ebbed and flowed a little bit, but it definitely has gained a lot more momentum in these past years. So any caregiver can call a Code Lavender. So let's say maybe there was a death of a coworker. We get called a lot for that. We've had some patients that have been on the unit for a while and they've passed away. Or maybe a patient came in and they seemed like they were doing great and they passed away. Or, you know, there's been a lot of turnover or just the stress of everyday life in the unit or what's going on and staff is feeling overwhelmed, they can call spiritual care and say, we need a Code Lavender, and we can mobilize on a unit within a half hour. Sometimes we've done shorter.
So
we come up and we might bring the tea cart, we bring our lavender bin, and it has all different things depending on what's going on in the unit and what the needs are of the staff. So we will set up in a room. There have been times when we've done like a water ceremony. We've have this water-soluble paper. And so we might come up, we'll set up mandalas, We'll have a vase full of water, and we'll have this dissolvable paper, and staff can write on maybe an intention, a prayer, something they need to let go of or something that's bothering them. They don't say what it is, but they put it into the vase, and the paper dissolves, and the water turns colors.
Wow.
And so then we take that water and we pour it out by a tree or something, honoring and releasing those intentions. So that's one small thing we do. We'll do Reiki. We'll do acupressure, listening to staff, bringing the tea cart. And sometimes staff are actually too busy to come and sit into a conference room or something. So then we have a bag and we go out and we talk to each caregiver and on the unit at that time of the day. So the code lavender, maybe it's, you know, in the ICU, let's say. So anybody that's in the ICU, whether you're a physician or a nurse or a HUC, or you're with respiratory or you're with BVS, you are welcome to participate and be a part of that.
Yeah.
So we can, sometimes they'll say, oh, you know, this happened. I think we're going to need a code lavender, maybe not today, but two days from now.
Sure.
So we can schedule that. We've come in all different times, all different days.
Yes.
So the code lavender is a rapid response for emotional support, spiritual support for the caregivers.
Yep.
And so we meet them where they are in real time. So we come to them. We always set up on their unit and offer support. And years ago, when I was at Hillcrest and we had the shootings in Chardon, at Chardon High School. At Hillcrest, we had a lot of caregivers that left that day that had kids at the school. And so we actually did a 3-day code lavender.
Really?
Yep. We I reached out to main campus and we mobilized the whole entire spiritual care team, the holistic nurses with healing services. And I think we saw 500 caregivers.
Wow. Well, as somebody whose teams have benefited from those services, I do want to say to you and the whole team that it has made a world of difference for us as caregivers.
Thank you.
We are, as you mentioned, very fortunate, though. Not every hospital system has the ability to provide code lavenders and dedicated resources. So I know you've piqued some interest out there, those folks who are listening. So what would you say to somebody who says, oh, I don't have that in hospital, so I'm not sure I can do those things? What's a good first step for somebody who says, I would like to be more in tune with the holistic nursing experience, or I'd like to even see if we could do a code lavender in my hospital? What advice would you give those nurses out there? You've piqued their interest.
I would think from holistic nursing perspective and offering something like that is really speaking to leadership and saying the value. You know, we're always talking about resiliency and retention for our caregivers. And when we have those things in place, when caregivers feel supported, when they feel valued, when they feel heard, it makes a big difference. So I would start with that. And I would start with, if we really want to truly pull our team together and have that retention and have our, you know, from nurses to really feel cared about, this really speaks to that.
Sure. And like you mentioned, it's not just for the nurses. It's for anybody who needs that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been around on the unit, and whether it's working with a patient or a caregiver, and I'll keep chocolate in my bag. And
I bet that makes
hey, you know, you know, food, chocolate, you know, dark chocolate, you know. But I'll just offer that to someone, and they're like, you just made my day. Or when we're bringing the tea cart around and the nurses are like, we see you coming down the hall with the tea cart and oh my gosh,
it's we like know the truck.
Yes, it is. Our shift is going to be awesome. Like we're good now. Like, oh my gosh, how do you guys know to come at that right time? You know, because sometimes we just bring the tea cart randomly.
Sure.
You know, and I would say speak to leadership because you can really speak to this is not only emotionally the thing to do when you speak to retention things, but it's actually, if you think about it fiscally, you know, if you're supporting your staff and you're supporting them in real time on their units, they're more apt to say that. I've met with nurses that have been traveling with the clinic, and when they see me out on the unit working with patients or family, and then I speak to them, they're like, or bring the tea cart up, they're like, wow, we don't get, I never got this at any other hospital.
Right.
Like, is this tea? And I kid you not, people will say, is this for free?
Oh,
like, the tea's for free or the snack is for free?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something simple and easy to do that does not cost a lot of money. That's worth it.
That's worth it.
And so you don't have to have a lot of supplies to start with the code lavender.
Sure.
You really don't. You just have to have the buy-in from leadership to do that, that this matters. I can do it while I'm on shift.
Well, and, that's it, yeah.
You know, yeah. And, you know, so the data is definitely out there.
Mm-hmm. We have rapid response teams for medical reasons. And like you said, this is a rapid response.
And when we talk about mind, body, spirit, and holism, right, if we're going to take care of us physically, what else mm-hmm. are we going to do
that's
for
right.
ourselves emotionally and yeah. spiritually?
Yeah, fantastic.
Bring the whole package, right?
That's right. So certainly you've illustrated that holistic nursing is a lot of things, and I'm sure there's lots of people out there who think it's all crystals and kumbaya, mm-hmm. and they come at it with a layer of skepticism. So let's say you're visiting a patient or even a caregiver,
mm-hmm.
and you're met with that skepticism. How do you handle that?
So I get this question a lot,
I
especially when I'm meeting with patients, and mm-hmm. I'll say, "Hi, my name is Rose. I'm the holistic nurse." And they're like, holistic nurse? And they're like, so... Okay, what is that? I've had mm-hmm. some patients say, so that means you do herbs and vitamins? I'm so into herbs and vitamins. Or, you know, and I'll say, well, I do like those things and I use those things in my life. I'll say, but I'm here to be a support for you. Mm. And I actually say, I'm here to look at more than just what's going on with you physically.
Mm.
I want to know what's going on emotionally and spiritually. So I'm looking, and I use my hands, my Italian hands, the whole picture. Mm. I'm going beyond just what you came in for. And so I often say, can I pull up a chair?
Oh, there you go.
And
yeah.
So patients are like, yeah, you could pull up a chair. And so that's where it begins. So I will say, I'm the holistic nurse, and I'm looking at you from a pretty broad lens, mm-hmm. but these are some of the things that I can also offer for you.
Oh, okay.
I said, in addition to being a good listener, and yep. patients always laugh at that, I'll say, I use Reiki. Mm-hmm. I use acupressure. Mm-hmm. I use some other touch therapies. Mm-hmm. We use aromatherapy here at Cleveland Clinic. I'll say I can do some other mind-body things like guided imagery. So then patients will usually pause and they'll look at me and they'll be like, well, I've kind of heard of Reiki, but I don't know quite what it is. And so that opens the door to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with acupressure or emotional freedom technique. So then they get inquisitive and they're like, can I experience that?
Oh, and, there you go.
Yeah. And
then
so, and then I'm right there at the bedside.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes patients will say, I've gotten calls for someone in a lot of pain, and I'll do a quick introduction and I'll say, can I offer something for you? I had one patient say to me, I don't care what you do. Yeah, you can touch me. Just do something for me.
Sure.
He was
yeah.
laying on his left side,
so
writhing in pain.
Yeah.
They had done pretty much everything that they could do at this point. And I ended up using acupressure.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 12 minutes, he was asleep.
Huh.
And I left the room. And I went back the next day to check mm-hmm. in on him to see where he was. He was sitting up in the chair. He was much better.
Mm.
And he said, I just want to know exactly, what did you do to me yesterday? Because I know I told
like
you,
magic.
Just go ahead and do whatever, but I'm not really sure. So then we had some conversation about that, and he's like, I would like more of that. That really helped me.
Wonderful.
And that's how mm-hmm. it kind of opens the door. When I started at Hillcrest, I do see a lot of moms in our antepartum unit.
Oh, sure.
So we use a lot of Reiki and guided imagery with the moms. It really helps them when they're there for weeks on end
sure.
before they deliver.
Yeah.
And there was a physician that would write in their note, patient really benefited from that Reiki lady. And
Reiki lady.
Reiki lady. I'm like, okay. But is the Reiki lady come back? You know, the patient really liked that. I'm like, okay. And it was very interesting. Over time,
mm-hmm.
the physician then started referring. She started seeing the patient's response
mm-hmm.
when they were getting Reiki and just where they were emotionally, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now in the chart, it's healing service referral place.
Hey, all right.
So, yes. And, you know, the thing now, I think we're moving forward in the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cleveland Clinic has functional medicine. We have an integrative center. We have employee mm-hmm. wellness. And I am seeing a shift in people when they're admitted to the hospital. They're starting to ask for some of these things.
Really?
They're using these things.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I go into a room and I see people have they do have crystals on their
yeah,
on
yeah.
their nightstand,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they've said, oh yeah, I heard you guys offer Reiki here. I love Reiki, you
oh,
know.
All right.
So we're seeing a shift in our community that people are knowing that this is available, it is helpful for them.
Mm-hmm.
It supports their well-being and contributes to their healing.
Wonderful. I could spend hours talking to you about this, but we are getting short on time. Before we wrap it up, a little birdie told me that you won a Daisy Award last year. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, I had no idea. This is funny because I was actually teaching Reiki. Oh. I was teaching Reiki and we were on a lunch break and I see all these people gathering outside the auditorium in Hillcrest. I'm like, what's going on? And then I saw my boss and I saw her boss and I was like,
probably not getting fired.
I'm like, okay, this is interesting, but why is everybody coming down here? Like, so I had no idea. So it was wonderful. And one of the nurse managers had submitted for me for a person that was just really struggling with grief and just could not get themselves centered. They were just really at a loss. And so the nurse manager had called me and I went up immediately and sat with that person and just held that space and spent some time with them, did some modalities just to help them calm physically.
Oh, gosh.
So they could, you know, begin to have some clarity and feel a little bit more at peace. And it was just wonderful to receive that award because it really embodied exactly what I do every day.
And clearly it was well deserved.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
We're going to flip a little bit, and I'm going to ask you some more fun questions.
All right.
To help our audience get to know you a little bit better. So what's something about you that surprises people?
I don't know. I learned to ski at 40.
Oh, fun. Okay. So what was that like?
What was that like?
Yeah, you're a lot taller at 40 than, you know, the kids that are at 6 learning.
Yes, because I was taking my son and he was snowboarding. I'm like, okay, I guess there's only so long I can stay here in the chalet, I guess. It was fun. You know, it was definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
I'm not great at it. I love cross-country skiing. The downhill still makes me a little nervous, but I still do it.
Wow, nice. Well done.
And probably that I have my moments too. You know, because they'll say, Rose, how come you always stay so calm? And I said, well, you know, you don't always see my Irish and Italian coming out. But it does.
So it's about taking care of yourself and balance.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Rose.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
As always, thanks so much for joining us for today's discussion. Don't miss out. Subscribe to hear new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, we want to hear from you. Do you have ideas for future podcasts or want to share your stories? Email us at nurseessentials@ccf.org. To learn more about nursing at Cleveland Clinic, please check us out at clevelandclinic.org/nursing. Until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute medical or legal advice. Consult your local state boards of nursing for any specific practice questions.